Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Okay, so those of you who are waiting for the Constitution that I'm reading to be posted, because apparently some of you are, what's a better way of putting this? I don't want to say sticklers or anything else, but I remember at the beginning, I told you I was going to post this. This is a color-coded chart or constitution that we have, and actually Ron, what's his last name? Doggone it. He's the founder of the Constitution Society, or the Society of the Constitution. It's constitution.org. And for the life of me, I'm really bad with names. And he's the former Attorney General of Texas, and he has been struggling with health, so he's not alone. Last time I talked to him, he said he didn't expect to live much longer. And I guess there is like a board of directors over the Constitution Society or what have you. So I probably need to go back in and kind of look at, you know, oh, John Rowland. I said Ron. See, it came to me. It's in there, but for some reason, pulling names, like Moore's Law, pulling names out of my head are not as easy as other facts and historical things, dates, you know, music, songs, and so forth. Anyway, I will get this posted. As I'm going through it, actually, because Ron, a long time, John, a long time ago, had done this color coding on this. And I, myself, have been color coding it myself. Because some of the stuff he had yellow, I've actually turned to red because we're violently breaking the Constitution in these areas. And so one of the things that we want to make sure you get, and as a matter of fact, I'll have to basically, you know, poke out to Brian, because Brian in Wyoming was the one that actually said, hey, you said you're going to post this. And I said, yeah, you're right. I will get it up. The reason I haven't posted it is because I'm still marking it. Once we're done reading through this and all of the amendments, as I explained to Brian, we will get this posted. So that then you can actually see the parts of the Constitution that are actually being violated. And these are key parts, the electors and so forth. You know, the same thing with the enumerated power of, you know, the what do you want to call that? The proper land and buildings that the federal government has the authority to control and or legislate for and so forth. You know, the magazines, arsenals, you know, those types of things. It's in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 16. So anyway, what we want to do is we want to kind of go through the the rest of the Constitution, and this is kind of important that we go through this. So what we're doing is I am looking for the, because I believe we were in the judiciary, which was, yep, we're just wrapping up the judiciary, which is Article 3. But before I can get into finishing up the judiciary and getting into Article 4, and then getting into Article 5, then getting into Article 6 and 7, we might actually be finished with the Constitution in the next day or two, as far as the Constitution proper. Then we're going to go through the amendments, because I always say that the Bill of Rights Day, I'm going to get started on it. There's just too much meat, because the Bill of Rights Day is the 15th of December. And if you look, that only gives me less than 10 days to make it before I do my Christmas show and I do, you know, the year-end wrap kind of thing and going into how to set effective goals. So if you want to hear, if you've never heard any type of advice on how to set effective goals, and everybody kind of rolls their heads, I am telling you, if you do not have goals, if you do not have focus in your life, then you will always be, you'll never be as focused, or I should say, you'll never gain the success that you really want in life. until you start focusing on and setting goals, creating a strategy, and the milestones that you need to get to that ultimate goal. So whatever's important to you and all the different things that are important to you from your family side, your career, political, ideological, what have you, you should have effective goals for every facet of your life. And you, that way you have a balanced life instead of, because there's plenty of people that may just have their goals set for their career at the expense of their family. So you're going to want to listen, because I actually used to teach this in my former days, and I actually had other people, other functional managers and so forth, actually send their people to when I was doing these goals on how to actually set effective objectives or effective goals for the company. This goes into even a broader aspect of how you can actually use these exact same principles in improving your life. So anywho, as we go through the obligatories, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and this is the only show. I keep on getting asked, and this is the most common question, and Jake asked me again this weekend, not that he asked me before, he might have, but it seems like, you know, I get asked, and it does happen. People will ask me, hey, have you talked to this person? Have you reached out to this person? And nine times out of ten, I may have. I've reached out to Mark Levin. I actually tried calling a few times, and I actually told his screener about, you know, Republic Review, and that's what I wanted to talk to Mark about. And he says he's not interested. He's only interested in people that are going against his ideas. And I'm going, okay. So for what it's worth, I am here to tell you that people, they don't have doors or access or interest in providing access to anybody who may actually have a solution. The more importantly, what I have to emphasize is that, and this is why I'm saying this is the only show that provides you the academic-based evidence and the academic solutions of what we have to do. I would challenge anybody, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to say it like this. I will bet my life that when it comes down to it, if Mark Levin and or Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, or any of these men, if they were humble enough and honest enough to actually say, I'm going to look at Republic Review and then actually debate it on the table as it stands today, as it is identified on reclaimingtherepublic.org. I didn't need to publish my third book. There you go, because that was the core part of the third book. And actually, I'm going to publish my third book. I'm sorry. I didn't do that at first, though, because if I was only considering selling you these things, then I would be telling you about my books all the time, but I don't. So bottom line, I want you to understand that I'm betting my life that none of these men would be wanting to actually look and support Republic Review and then say, yep, okay, we've supported this. Go ahead, kill yourself or what have you. Because it's not in these men. It is not in their paradigm. It is outside of their model because these men are businessmen. When I look at all of these famous entertainers, up-and-coming Charlie Kirk and Andrew Wilkow, all of these men are only about one thing, because they do not want to solve this problem. And people go, well, why not? I mean, they're out there, they're leading in these conservative things. They're calling these rallies do nothing. As a matter of fact, if you want to have an effective rally, talk to us about doing a First Amendment rally. Go to the park and set up and say, we're going to be doing this rally, but we're not going to march anywhere. We're going to have everybody stand in line, and we're going to explain the importance of this First Amendment petition and getting everybody behind this so that we can start removing public servants. How does that sound? Getting rid of Jay Inslee, getting rid of Governor Little, getting rid of all of these governors, Whitman, all of these people. And I've got to reach out to Bill Moore and Bill Moore's son in Michigan, because they need to start understanding that these petitions are actually, these are our rights, and they're legally obligated to respond. I've gone through this before, and we're going to get to it when we hit the First Amendment again. This is your First Amendment right. Why would you waste your time to just march and make these nice signs? Why not sign a petition and then get enough signatures to go down to your county commissioners in every county? This is a movement, my friends. If you really want to fix the problem, you have to get involved in this movement. And I am telling people that the Constitution Party should be the party, because you will not see the Republican Party champion the First Amendment right of petition. They're out there doing, and they're calling people to do these rallies and protests. Are you kidding me? The January 6th was more of a brainchild of the Republican paradigm than it had anything to do with any other conservative group out there. Because it was about, and if you want to call it, you know, the supporters, the Republican supporters of Trump. Okay, that's great. But they failed completely, because what they should have done was they should have had all of these people show up. I don't know how many people showed up, but they should have had everybody that was there on the 6th sign First Amendment petitions for a very specific thing, to demand Congress to set aside and actually throw out the Electoral College. And we had a petition for this, and they were actually served. They were served by thousands of signatures. But the problem was that the January 6th wasn't about your exercising your right. It was actually violating the Constitution by protesting and creating civil disobedience just by blocking streets and being out there. We will get into the Constitution when we come back. I'm sorry for going down this diatribe. I'll do the rest of the obligatories right after these two messages. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Oh, yeah. Before I go too much further, so I was speaking with a Pete down in Florida, and actually he sent me a question, and I answered his question, because I made a comment when we were reading the Constitution. I'll get back to the obligatories. But he made a comment that said, hey, you basically stated, you know, that the president is not doesn't have to do the State of the Union to Congress. In other words, the process that Pelosi was trying to in the previous presidential State of the Union, the best, without reading it, because I don't have access to that here. Bottom line, I made a comment that said the president is, see, it doesn't say in the Constitution that Congress shall have the power to call forth the president to give a State of the Union. The president, basically, it states right there that the president will provide, you know, once a year, a State of the Union. And it doesn't say anywhere where Congress has any controls. This is not a part of their enumerated powers. It's in Article 2, where it's a duty to the president. And it also states, and you can go back and check it, you know, he doesn't necessarily have to do it to all of Congress. He can do it separately. He can do his State of the Union and actually provide the papers and everything else and take away the House of Representatives' ability to grandstand and tear up his speech behind him with, you know, the disdain and the absolute, what's the best way to basically say this? Because it is taking away the dignity, not of the man, but of the office. When Nancy Pelosi did, or the dignity of, yeah, the dignity of the office, not the person. Because we could have a female president. I'm absolutely okay with that. A long, long time ago, I probably had some issues with that. But paradigms change, and paradigms start to, you know, adjust as we start receiving more information. Anyway, the reality is that the president has the responsibility to set up and do the State of the Union. He doesn't, again, he does not have to go in front of all of Congress. Nancy Pelosi thinks it is her control. She has these controls over this. It is not in Article 1, Section 8. It is in Article 2. It is under the president's control. And therefore, or if it was under Congress's control or control, it would have been put in Article 1, Section 8. But it's not. And there's no mention of receiving the State of the Union. It is something the president does. And so I want people to understand that not knowing and not understanding the Constitution can, a lot of times, we just do things because that's how we've always been doing it. So everybody believes, and the protocol and the courtesies have been extended by the president for years and years and years, to where it enabled the Speaker of the House to basically feel like they're in charge, where Pelosi has fundamentally been enabled by this long-term tradition. And so had a good constitutional advisor been talking to Trump, they would have said, you know what, don't even do that. Actually, just go deliver the State of the Union to the Senate. And stiff-armed the House of Representatives. It would have removed their ability to do the antics and the things that they were doing at the time. And so, okay, maybe America's better off seeing how the left reacts and the way they react. But anyway, just wanted to reemphasize that, because if anybody else has the questions regarding the State of the Union, just remember, it is in Article 2. It is the president's duty to do this, and he has the control over it. It is not the House's control. And it's not for the House to be able to do the grandstanding. And even when Obama, I forget the representative that yelled out, "You lie," or "You liar," or what have you. And I think everybody remembers that. That was basically extending disrespect and a lack of dignity for the office. We shouldn't be doing those types of grandstandings. There are times to actually have the rebuttal, and maybe that guy should have actually had the rebuttal. I remember one of the times during, I think it was CMR, Kathy McMorris Rogers, during President Obama's, you know, State of the Union, she actually did the counter, and that fell so flat. I don't understand how that woman is still in Congress. She does not represent the people of the Congressional District of Washington, where she's from, because I live within that district, and she does not represent the people here, and I just can't understand why. Because this is the problem with the Republican Party. This is why I keep on telling people, we've got to start getting you over and involved with the Constitution Party. If you're already a member of the Republican Party and not a member of the Constitution Party, well, just go at least check it out. But I'm telling Constitution Party members, you better get your butt into those Central Committee meetings. And then when they start extending their offer to have you join, you can point out how they don't even talk about the Constitution, let alone provide training on a regular basis about the Constitution. And you can give them all sorts of evidence and information regarding these things that nobody understands, like this invasion with Article 4. And we're going to get to that. So we want to go through these nice courtesies. And I promise in my next episode, I'm going to just drill right through so that we can make some more headway. Because I get frustrated. I get these comments. I want to actually share these things because we can talk about them. But when I'm in content mode, it's really hard to talk about all of these things. So anyway, Timber Nation, go please check these guys out. If you're considering getting an entertainment rack, an entertainment center, entertainment something, get solid hardwood and get the kind of wood that'll actually match what you've got. How hard is that? Going out to buying furniture and you go, well, we kind of got a dark oak, or we got a light oak, or a red oak, or what have you, and they never have the wood and the finish you want. You get exactly what you want from Timber Nation. And so check them out. We the People calendar. I can't plug this enough, because this is a calendar that is, so if you have a business and you want to actually hand out calendars or things like that, then reach out to the guy that runs this. He's the owner, Matt Hawkins. Reach out to him and talk to him about the We the People calendar, because I'm sure he could actually add a flap onto the calendar for plugging your business, so that every year you can give these things out, and he'll probably be able to offer you a discount, so that, you know, you can, instead of giving out a Christmas card, you know how some people give out calendars. The reason you want to give out this calendar is this calendar is going to help lead people into the better understanding of the Constitution, because I work with him on the content of this. And so he's a supporter of Republic Review. He's a supporter of the audit, definitizing the Constitution and so forth. This guy is a patriot, and this is a patriot company. So, and I'm working with him and hopefully the Constitution Party, because that way the We the People calendar, some of the proceeds will actually go and help support the Constitution Party. Those state parties that open up their bylaws and allowing them to accept, but they have to change their bylaws and they have to change their platform to being supporting of the Constitution as it is written, as it is defined. And I have a sample of the platform out there if you want to take a look at it. It basically takes this to two paragraphs, not even a full page platform. And that's how platforms need to be read. If you would have looked at Madison and Jefferson's platform for the Republican Party way back in 1799, it was that simple. It was an enumerated constitution. The federal government only has these powers. They can't be doing anything else. And it was really that simple. Anywho, RadioDustCovers.com if you need to protect your gear. And Red Pill Expo is coming up at the beginning of November. I've got to reach out, because I got less than a month to go, and how I am going to interface with these folks. And so the chances of my being there are still kind of up in the air, but I want to be able to, I want to be there. But if I can't take my wife or somebody, you know, with, you know, a medical support. Plus, there's some other medical needs that I have, so I can be there. But bottom line, if I can't be there, I will at least be there via the streaming and interfacing. But let me, I haven't exhausted all mechanisms and avenues yet, but please hang on. And if I do go, and if I have to drive down there myself, then I just ask that you extend a little bit of patience with me. That way, you know, you'll be getting probably, you know, the ratification debates over again instead of me, you know, giving you live diatribe or what have you. Anyway, let me actually get moving. Harry, I hope you're listening. And by all means, folks, call the comment line, 425-270-5416, if you have any questions. Okay, so now we're in Section 3 of the Constitution. And it says here, treasons against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies. So let's really identify what this means, because when we talk about levying war, if you understand what Aaron Burr did, Aaron Burr was actually in Louisiana, and he was actually trying to gather a military, a militia, and or a group to actually go to war against the United States. Now, when we talk about the United States, we're talking really about the United States government. We can't wage war against the United States government in a military fashion. Okay, so I just want you to understand, just because, you know, you don't like what's going on doesn't mean you can take your guns and march somewhere to say, we're going to intimidate and try to basically imply that we're going to use deadly force to get what we want. We have all the tools in the Constitution, and it's called First Amendment petition, it's called common law grand juries, and we have mechanisms of holding these folks accountable. And the biggest way is the ballot box, but we'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so this part right here, the or in adhering to their enemy, giving them aid and comfort. Okay, so what is their enemy? So let's go back to the very beginning. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their. Who's there? The United States? Well, so I want to be clear, because we've become so politically wired that it's really not the United States government is controlled by Democrats and or Republicans, by the parties. So this is why Section 3 was very clear that it is the Constitution, because when they wrote this, the expectation was that the Constitution would be followed to the T, that the United States, being the government of the United States, would be a constitutional government, one that is in complete adherence to the Constitution. And so who then are the enemies? It's the enemies of the Constitution, those who are actually committing and or supporting and adhering enemies, because we are actually at war. We actually, with this Bolshevik revolution, that is, and when we see this out in the streets, every person out there, I just want to be clear, the Whiskey Rebellion, when those people actually took up, you know, arms and intimidated the local folks in Pennsylvania, I mean, they didn't do nothing. It was modest. It was a modest protest compared to the Bolshevik Revolution we witnessed last year. Every person that participated in these riots and in these revolts in all of these cities across America, I want to be very crystal clear that what they were doing was treason. They were actually rebelling, and they created autonomous zones in Seattle and in other cities, such as Portland as well. At least I know those two areas. I believe Minneapolis was the same way. They were creating autonomous zones. In other words, they were actually revolting against the Constitution and its laws. So this was treason. And every single one of these folks, the only way you're going to get a day of justice, my friends, is when you get people that are absolutely supporting the Constitution into office, and those people will follow the and answer to the call of holding these people accountable. They will be tried and charged. They'll be charged and tried for treason. And just remember, the Whiskey Rebellion, two people were convicted of treason. And that was just a rebellion over this thing called the whiskey tax or the distilled liquors tax, right? I'm telling you, my friends, it is time we start holding people accountable, because I don't give a rat's behind on how illiterate people are. Ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law. We have to hold them fully accountable. Now, I do believe in giving somebody the opportunity, you know, and we've talked about this before, forgiveness, basically, or mercy. When somebody is actually going through what we would call, you know, the process, like, you know, when the governor passes these, you know, cease your religious actions and worship, and cease any commerce, you know, these shutdown edicts that came from all of these different governors. It would be one thing if somebody said, hey, can we even do this? Can they actually do this and challenge that and say, well, you know, the law states this, and just because they're illiterate and they didn't know any better, then those people, I believe, deserve mercy. But the people that didn't even question it, they go, yeah. And I'm going to tell you, that's the Democrats. The Democrats actually support that level of tyranny. They do not support the Constitution, and they're doing everything. They're blatantly violating the Constitution right in front of us, as we see this in Congress. Every single one of those people are committing treason. They're supporting unconstitutional actions and unconstitutional growth. We've actually seen treason over the past century from Wilson and so forth, but because we have been constitutionally illiterate for so long, that people just don't even see this in front of them. And it's like, well, that's how it is, isn't it? That's how we do this? No. And so just to be very, 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 very clear, when somebody is coming across that border and they're actually supporting, even Trump supported, not knowing, and I think Trump would have gotten the first and final, he would have said, okay, because he actually tried to stop. But everybody that advised him unconstitutionally, he took in and accepted these people. It's just like the refugees. That is unconstitutional, to be bringing people here and then giving them citizenship. They don't have the authority to do that. The Constitution did not, the states never allowed the federal government to bring in enemies of liberty and make them U.S. citizens. That is absolutely repugnant to the concepts of the oath of office and even the oaths of citizenship, when somebody's supposed to denounce their affiliation and their being subject to these, what we'll call, sovereigns. Anyway, no person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act or on confession in open court. Now, I believe we have video, and I believe you don't need to necessarily have two witnesses. I believe you just need the video itself and that person's own words when we actually have a camera and a congressman with Mexicans walking them across the border. That is an open act of treason. Open act of treason. Violating and deliberately violating the Constitution. How? We're going to get right into that in Article 4. Now, here's an interesting one, and this is one I'm just not going to dive into because this is about the punishment. But what I'm going to point out is that the attainder in this line actually speaks out, because what you can't do is you can't basically create a law that is basically creating a law to go after somebody because of, you know, what they did. If it was something that was never against the law of what they were doing. But anyway, the Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attained. And so the corruption of blood, that goes down the family lines, the family conspiracy, some of those types of things. Anyway, but the interesting thing is that they did not like the idea of creating a law after the fact, like an ex post facto law, or right before you actually go and arrest somebody and say, okay, this is, you know, what you did. And a bill of attainder and or punishment is what we're seeing governments doing with Biden actually creating a mandate that says you can lose your job and you can be punished for not getting a vaccination. That right there, they don't have the power, first off, to tell you you have to do this. And what they're doing is in this law, this mandate, that is a bill of attainder and punishment. Period. Go look this stuff up. You need to start understanding bills of attainder and punishment as well as ex post facto laws. Now, Article 4. This is good. I love Article 4 because this is where we can really start poking government, and I should say the parties, in the eye for this. Section 1. Full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. And the Congress may, by general laws, prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be proved and the effect thereof. Now, this is not granting any general powers, but it's basically identifying that the faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. This is kind of like the reciprocity, as one state allows 16-year-olds to openly carry guns in their state. And I think this is right here in the reciprocity, that 16-year-old, like driving, they can actually go and drive as a 16-year-old in any other state if they have a valid license from the state of Louisiana or the state of Ohio. It doesn't matter. This is a reciprocity that all states shall have and respect these laws, acts, and so forth of other states. Section 2, the citizens, this is another pointing out the use of citizens of each state, and this is the reciprocity clause. The citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. Now, those privileges and immunities are those common things like the right to buy land or own land and those types of things. But what this is basically saying, and again, this is the reciprocity clause, but the first one kind of sets in Section 1, the full faith and credit and everything else, that the states will actually, you know, have a, I'll just say it's more of a harmony amongst the states in actually allowing and respecting the acts, records, and proceedings of the other states. Now, it doesn't mean that they necessarily have to become, and here's a great example. The state of Washington in 1971 legalized abortion. Now, did that mean that all the other states had to do the same thing? No. But they had to basically, you know, have this, this acceptance, because you couldn't ban people from traveling to the other states because they were allowed to do that in that state. So there was this, you know, I'm out of time. I'll be right back.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me give you two good examples, because I kind of brought up abortion. So I'll stick with abortion, and actually three. Homosexual marriage, and what was the other one? I had another one. Well, let me kind of talk about them, and I will get into what the other one was. Section 1 is not granting the federal government any powers, but it may actually prescribe the manner in how these acts and proceedings can be proved, and or the effect thereof. So if the state of Washington legalized abortion, then the other states could not prohibit travel to the state of Washington for pregnant women. In other words, if a person, a female, wanted to go and travel, they could not, you know, create a law that says you can't go do that. And so even though what happened in that other state, and as repugnant as it is, this kind of keeps. And so this is one of those things that the framers, I don't think, really understood. I don't think they understood how bad things would get. I think the Lord understood how bad things would get. But I do believe that the Lord, when he was standing there as all the accusers had left the adulteress, and he basically says, "Man, where are your accusers?" And, you know, she looked up and noticed that everybody had left. And it's not like he gave her forgiveness, but he says, "Go," because in some states, taking a life is a capital punishment. And, you know, he basically said, "Go and sin no more." And I do understand how the states don't like, and there are people that are, you know, just, they're really wired hard about abortion. I completely get it. I am equally on the side of not aborting. But the fact is, the Constitution created a union of states. And if one state in the union, I should say, wants to go down this path of abortion, then that state, you know, you have to respect that act or those proceedings as they've legalized that. It's the same thing with every state in the union who has actually voted, except I know of two. Washington State and Hawaii are the two states that legalized homosexual marriage. And so no other state can prohibit the travel of two people to go there. However, they can prohibit and not recognize, because in their own election process, I believe every other state, if not, they just have never done it because it was just not one of those things that they felt they needed to do. They didn't recognize it. Fact of the matter is that just because you go to and you travel to the state of Washington or Hawaii and have a homosexual marriage doesn't mean you can go back to your state and they have to recognize that, because that state and its proceedings and its open vote in changing their constitution, like California, they did it twice. They actually changed their constitution to say we do not recognize homosexual marriage. And then by edict, the courts, and now by the edict of the governor, they're granting it and doing it, which is in violation of the will of the people per their own constitutions. So you can see how it doesn't necessarily force things down one state or another. What it does is it recognizes that there will be these types of differences in these companies. It's just like with healthcare and other things. And the third thing I was going to come up with, I apologize. I don't want to drag this into the muck and the mire, but this is one thing. This is one section one of Article 4 was one of those things that I don't think they understood what kind of repugnant laws and how depraved society would become in America. The Lord knew, but I do see the liberty within this. And as I say, liberty is a fundamental tenet of salvation, that we have to make our own choices. We have to do everything for ourselves. And we have to make those choices of abandoning our sins and what have you and following him. So anyway, Section 2, again, is the reciprocity clause. And so Section 1 kind of sets that up, though. Section 1 basically sets this up. And as you look at Article 4, the tone kind of continues going down this. And what it basically says here, and this is what I love about Article 4 of Section 2. A person charged in any state with treason, felony, or another crime, who shall flee from justice and be found in another state, shall, on demand of the executive authority of the state from which he fled, be delivered up to be removed to the state having jurisdiction of the crime. This is one of the teeth in the Constitution where the states that are executing republic review can demand any and every congressperson. And people go, well, why, if the states are all online, why would they have anybody that would be a part of their state in the House of Representatives or in the Senate that wouldn't be, supporting the Constitution and republic review? I'll give you a good example. Texas is a dark red state. Texas would be one of those states. And Florida would be one of those states, two examples. But you will find that there are hardcore leftist Democrats that are in these states as well, because the representation is of what it is. And these people representing that congressional district are being voted in by these little bastions of liberals that are in both of these states. And so these folks are going to try to do what they can in not supporting these directives. As I went through Republic Review, when you have 27 states, the 27 states will provide directives. The Congress will do this. And if there's any congressman, any Democratic congressman that doesn't support getting rid of the Department of Education, they do it at their own peril, because right here, Article 4 states that the state can charge that person with treason and or violating their oath of office, and for having them be basically come back to under the guise of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We'll get to that when we get to the amendments. But under this guise of possible treason and violation of their oath of office and Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, then they will actually be replaced, and it will be up to the governor to replace, and he'll make sure that this individual that's replacing them will actually do their job, or that person will be charged as well. All of these people will be removed and banned for life in accordance with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, of course, it says that Congress shall have the power to remove this disability, but it requires two-thirds of Congress. If we already have a majority control of the states, that means the Senate and in the House of Representatives, I don't think they're going to come up with two-thirds majority to overrule or to remove these bans of congressmen. Once we get to that level, we're at critical mass, and we now have the iron fist of justice and the velvet glove of mercy in our grasp, that we can actually force the federal government into full compliance and get this nation back onto the train tracks that the framers placed us on, and start moving forward through and cutting through this world of corruption and cutting through this world of communism, and actually become a beacon once again to all of the states of the world to join us in liberty. And how can we do that? It's all right here in Article 4. So this was actually changed, or right here in the 13th Amendment. No person held to service or labor in one state under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall in consequence of any law or regulation there be discharged from their service or labor, but shall be delivered up on the claim of property to whom such service or labor may be due. And so this right here was changed by the 13th Amendment, because this was the slavery clause, that if somebody actually was able to escape and get into a state where there was no slavery. And why is this clause in here? Because states were already abolishing slavery. That doesn't jive well. It doesn't align with the narrative that the left is trying to tell you, that this Constitution was, you know, where all of the states wanted this. This is actually another one of those political compromises. But we defied this, as the states actually recognized, like Wisconsin and so forth, these states started recognizing that this right here, this part of the Constitution, was repugnant to the fundamental laws of the Declaration of Independence and the fundamental laws of God and nature's God. And so, or I should say the laws of nature and nature's God. And so when they actually tried to start pursuing this, there was Wisconsin and other states actually just, unfortunately, they nullified this. And what they should have done was they actually should have actually left the union in their nullification and demanded a constitutional convention. Or that's what they should have done, is basically called for and organized for a constitutional convention without leaving the union. Because nullification and a change of the Constitution must go hand in hand if it is an actual violation of the Constitution. Otherwise, it is one of those things that, you know, if... And so Madison states and Jefferson states that if you nullify, you need to actually leave the Union. But I believe that if it's a nullification regarding the Constitution itself, like this particular law, it would be one of those where that state, I don't believe, because the Constitution requires this removal, because you can actually prove how this violates the fundamental tenets of our Declaration of Independence and the laws of nature, like I said, then we have, you know, the right to actually demand a constitutional convention in accordance with Article 5. I'm out of time. We'll pick this up in our next broadcast, and we'll go straight into this same dialogue so I can close on this. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.